ProCouch University, educating the world on all things heating, air conditioning, and indoor air quality. Welcome everybody to ProCouch University podcast, episode number 2. What types of HVAC systems are there? The reason we're talking about this today is in the previous episode, episode 1, we spoke about the SEER 2 changes that are coming up January 1st, 2023, and how they were going to basically affect just about everybody in the United States, especially the HVAC manufacturers. But today's episode is about what the different types of air conditioning systems and heating systems out there, and what, you know, I'm going to kind of give you some recommendations as to what might be best for you. And obviously, you're the one who has to make the decisions, but I'm going to give you some good pointers and good thoughts and ideas of what you can do, what things you're going to want to consider when you're making that decision. Don't just listen to your HVAC guy. A lot of the HVAC guys, not all of them, there's a lot of great ones out there, but a lot of the HVAC guys are going to be looking to recommend what they need to sell. And what do I mean by that? Well, I was a manufacturer's rep for two of the largest air conditioning companies in the world. And I would go to air conditioning companies and I would help support them and offer them our products and things like that. And you know, one of the big pushes was having these dealers buy bulk, buy a bunch of equipment in pre-orders that they would then store in their warehouse, you know, basically make a guess on what they typically sell. And they'd get a little bit of a discount to stock these in their warehouses. And, you know, think about it from a business standpoint. If I buy product ahead of time so I can save a little bit of money, and I'm going out, I have my salespeople going out the house or my service technician going out to a house, you know, they're going to sell first what we have in stock. And not always are they going to look at what the true needs of the homeowner are. They're going to look at, well, I know I got these items. I got 14 SEER, 15 SEER, or 16 SEER, or whatever the case may be. And well, that's what I need to get rid of. So I'm going to have my guys push towards selling those to the customer. So it may not always be exactly what's right for you as a homeowner. Same thing if you're an architect or a builder. You know, as an architect, we have a lot of people that come, a lot of architects that come to us saying that, you know, their HVAC company or the design company that they were using just kept pushing towards one type of system. That's all they wanted to offer. And well, you know, in the design industry, it's not about what we want to push. It's what does the house need? What does the client need, the homeowner? What do they need in their home? One, because of what the house needs, but what do they need as an individual to make their living conditions optimal for them? And that's what's going to make a difference between what system, what brand of system, what efficiency of system, what type of system. And that's what we're going to be talking about today, is the different types of HVAC, which is heating, ventilation, and air conditioning. We're not going to talk so much about ventilation today. We're going to talk more about the heating and the air conditioning side. And in episode number 3, or upcoming episodes, we're going to talk about the different types of indoor air quality, filters, ERVs, HRVs, things of that nature. But today's podcast is about what are the different types of HVAC systems. So let's start out with the very first type, which in the southern part of the United States, whether it's western, eastern, mid, they have a what they call a split system, straight cool. Now, a split system, what that refers to is you have an outside unit, which is called the condenser. And you have an inside unit, which typically is called an air handler. Now, the condenser outside has a component in it called the compressor. Basically, a compressor is like your heart. It does the pumping. Okay. Something goes into it. It pumps. It creates a higher pressure and pushes it back out. Now, what's going through that compressor is refrigerant. Now, this is pretty much any of these systems that we're going to talk about is the same concept. So refrigerant is like blood. So that goes through your air conditioning system, and how it travels through the air conditioning system is just like your veins. So the refrigerant piping your veins, carrying the refrigerant, your blood, through the compressor, which is outside, part of the condenser is your heart compressor. So it pumps the blood refrigerant through your veins, the refrigerant lines, through the system. And it's kind of a, I guess you would call it just a circular motion. A heat pump, we'll talk about that, can be a split system. A straight cool system could be a split system. So, and typically you'll have those. You'll have an inside unit and an outside unit. Now, with the straight cool that we call them, now some people can call have different terms for them, but usually it's called straight cool in the industry, means that the outside condenser, which has a bunch of other components in it, is solely used to remove heat from the home and dump it outside. And then you have the inside or the air handler, which is where the air from the home travels through this air handler and it removes heat from that air. So the air coming out the other side is cooler. And without getting super technical, the heat that's removed is absorbed by the refrigerant, the blood, through the refrigerant lines, your veins, and it gets carried outside. And the job of the outside unit, the straight cool system, is to then get rid of the heat that's been absorbed by this refrigerant. Okay. We can get a lot more technical, but I don't want to do that for you right now. We might have some other technical podcasts down the road. So straight cool means that that unit is solely set up for cooling. We want to, you know, we have hotter climates where we just need air conditioning, or even northern climates, they get heat up there sometimes. So all we're doing is focused on air conditioning, nothing else. Now, with a straight cool system, where we're looking at air conditioning only, the inside unit, which is typically called the air handler, is also going to need heat once in a while. You know, like here in South Florida, you know, even though it's bejesus hot out all the time and 4,000,000,000% humidity, we need heat sometimes. So what will happen is on the inside unit in the air handler is typically at the top of that, they will insert something called an electric heat strip. Now, the electric heat strip is basically like a toaster. Same concept. It's got electricity that goes through these little coils. Based on the type of material and the thickness or whatnot, it'll create a restriction for the electricity, which allows the wires to heat up, creating heat. The air from the air handler blows across that, and the air coming out the other side is warmer. Hence, the air goes into your home and creates heat. Now, when we add the electric heat strip into that air handler, there are some locations or people, and I just heard this yesterday from a client, that call that inside unit not an air handler, but an electric furnace. That's also a term that they can use. We typically don't call them that in the industry. It's usually an air handler with electric heat strip and a straight cool condenser outside. Now, when you're just looking at air conditioning, that's the way to go. And if you have very little heating requirements, you know, electric heat strip, which again, you're using pure energy, that's not the most efficient way to heat. But for places that don't need a lot of heat, like South Florida, the cost of the electric heat strip, which is very inexpensive to install, the size of the breaker that would be required in your electrical panel, which costs a little bit more, is still a lot less than the cost of some of the other heating options that you would want to get. And we'll talk about those here in just a few minutes. So a split system, condenser outside, air handler, electric furnace inside. So split, it's split up, inside, outside. Now, the other part of that is what's called a heat pump. Now, a heat pump system, the air handler inside or electric furnace inside, if you're going to put an electric heat strip, is almost identical. It's got a fan, it's got a coil, everything inside is almost identical. The difference is the outside condenser. Remember, we talked about that condenser. It's got the compressor, which is like your heart. It's got refrigerant flowing through it. Well, in a heat pump, what they've done is created a way for that unit to run in the opposite direction. So what it's doing is it has a device, it's called a reversing valve, that just basically forces the flow of the refrigerant to go in the opposite direction. So a regular air conditioning system, what it's doing is it's picking up heat, unwanted heat from inside your house. Okay, so, you know, it's hot outside, you have all this heat penetrating your windows and walls from the outside, and all that heat gets onto the inside. So we need a way of removing that. And that's all really air conditioning is the removal of heat. You're not adding cool, you're removing heat to create a cooler temperature. So in a regular straight cool system, we absorb that heat and it's absorbed by the refrigerant or the blood, as we talked about, which is carried through the refrigerant lines, your veins, and it goes outside. And when it gets outside in straight cool, that heat is released from the refrigerant and it's pushed outside. That's why if you have an air conditioning system, you can actually go outside, put your hand over top of the condenser outside, and you'll notice that the air coming out of the top is actually warmer than the surrounding air. And that also lets you know that your system's doesn't necessarily mean it's working perfectly, but it's doing something. So with a heat pump, what it does is it goes in the opposite direction. It actually takes heat from outside, brings it into that refrigerant, carries it inside, and then as the cooler air, because remember we're talking about heating now, it's 50 degrees in the house, we're blowing 50 degree air across this coil, which is now warmer. So what happens is we now pick up heat as the air goes across, we pick it up. So now we increase the temperature of the air going across, which then pushes heat out of the other side into your ducts and grills that are in your rooms. That's what a heat pump does. It basically reverses the process of an air conditioning system to create heat. And now the key to focus on with heat pumps is the efficiency of them at what temperature outside. And your standard heat pump, which you can get that from just about any manufacturer that you can find. They make straight cool systems and they make heat pump systems. The key with this is what is the temperature consistently for you when it gets a little cooler outside? See, in a heat pump, when we get below 47 degrees outside temperature, a lot of your standard heat pump systems, just out of the box standard heat pumps from your air conditioning companies, manufacturers that you know of out there, is they start to lose their heating capacity as it gets below 47 degrees, meaning they're not as efficient. Where I may have a heat pump system, I don't know, let's say it's running at 3 tons. And for terms, for those of you who like some terminology out there, a ton of air conditioning is 12,000 BTUs. And so for every ton of air conditioning, we'll have 12,000. So let's say it's a 3-ton system. Okay, and we'd be looking at 36,000 BTUs. Well, when I get below 47 degrees, the system struggles to pull heat from outside. I go, wait a minute, how can we have heat? I mean, it's 27 degrees outside. How do we have heat? Well, believe it or not, until you get down to absolute zero, there's still some form of heat at some point. So it's just a matter of how effective or efficient that unit is at capturing heat outside and bringing it inside. But your standard systems, when you get below 47 degrees, they start to lose capacity, which means that 36,000 BTU system, when it gets to 20 degrees or 30 degrees, may only be worth 20,000 BTUs, which is less than 2 tons. Or when it gets down to 17 degrees, may only be 1.5 tons of air conditioning, or I'm sorry, heating. So we have to look at that. And as part of a design that our company ProCalx does, that's something that's very important to us to make sure that whatever the size of that system is, or the type of system that we're recommending, is that whatever the standard cooling temperature, heating temperature is for that. You know, like if we're in Maine, we're going to be looking at the low teens. And if we're in South Florida, you know, we're lucky if we have a 38 degree day, which is almost unheard of, but it happens. So we're going to recommend different products than that. And we're going to say, okay, well, if it's down in the 17s and I'm recommending a 3-ton, that means they're barely going to get 1.5 tons of heating in that area. And that's not going to work because they need a lot more. So we have to take that into consideration. Now, when you get into some of these higher end, fancier heat pump systems, like, and I know that I'm going to make a statement here. I'm going to say a name of a product, and I can just tell the first thing that's going to pop in your head, and I'll go into that, but it's the mini splits. So the mini split systems. Now, the first thing that popped in your head is this ugly thing that hangs on the wall, right? Well, yes, that is part of it. But mini split systems today have just come an absolute, I mean, just light years from where they were. And a lot of these higher end mini splits heat pumps can actually function down into the negatives without losing or losing very little heating capacity. Now, they have them called hyperheat and different things of that, depending on what manufacturer that you would go with, whether it's a Mitsubishi or a Gree or Daikin or something like that. Each of them has their own special products for that. But they can be really efficient when you get into these lower temperatures. In fact, we specified quite a few of those heat pump mini splits. But the mini splits don't just have the wall hung. They have what's called a ducted. It looks like a little pancake unit. It's really short, a little short, probably only about 7 or 8 inches tall by maybe 36, depending on the tonnage. And they go into very tight places, and you can actually attach ductwork to them. So if you're in the house, everybody outside the home everybody who is not in the attic, let's put it that way, not outside home, everybody who's not looking in the attic, it's going to look like it's just a regular air conditioning system. They're not going to be able to tell the difference. It's got ductwork, it goes to grills and things of that nature, and it basically runs the same. But it's also a lot more efficient. There's a lot of other things. We'll talk more about those in other episodes. But the new mini split heat pump, if you go to, you know, like Daikin or Mitsubishi, go to their websites and look at the stuff. It's really cool, the different things they have. I mean, there's even one that has, it looks like a picture frame that hangs on the wall, and it's actually an air conditioning system, which is just, it's mind-boggling the way it looks. A little difficult to install, but it's kind of a really cool concept. Having this picture, and you could put whatever you want in the frame, and it's actually air conditioning, and it's pretty sharp. So that's kind of straight cool, and that's heat pump. And obviously, we only have a short podcast, so we can't go into too much detail. But you can go on websites and Google straight cool and heat pump and whatnot. But I just want to kind of give you a basic understanding of what they are. Now, the next thing that we have, let's talk about a furnace. Now, a furnace, which a lot of you listening probably know exactly what that is, it's either using propane or gas typically. Now, we do have some locations that still have oil furnaces. I know when I started in 1987, I started in Vineland, New Jersey with a company up there busting out boilers, and a lot of those were oil fire furnaces. And I know we kind of get away from that, but some of that now, but there's a lot of places that have them. Typically, you'll use propane or natural gas, and the air handler inside is now converted to the furnace. So there's no heating components typically outside. You would have your air conditioning unit outside if the area requires air conditioning. I mean, I know there's parts in Southern California where we've dealt with customers out there, and they're like, I don't need air conditioning. I don't need air conditioning at all. I just need some heat. And well, they don't need it. But in a lot of these places, when you get up into Maine and some of these really cold places, a heat pump system is not going to work because it's too cold. An electric heater, electric furnace is not going to work because in order to supply enough heat, the electric heat strip would have to be so large. I mean, your electric meter outside would be spinning like a rocket just going around because you would just be burning up so much electricity. So it doesn't make sense. So with a furnace, the other part is the furnace allows you to also have a higher type of heat. It's a little drier type of a heat because of how it's used, but the air handler inside now becomes the furnace, and the furnace is designed to add a much warmer heat and has different components like the combustion chambers and the heat exchangers and a blower as well, that the air goes across the heat exchangers and produces the heat that then enters into the home. So that is recommended for areas that have a very low temperature into the freezings and lower teens, low teens, minus teens. You need a furnace. There's a lot of houses that we work on in Colorado and some of these other places, New York, New Jersey, that you can't get away without a furnace because the amount of heat required is too substantial for anything else. Now, in those areas, you're still going to have a condensing unit outside. Would be a straight cool condensing unit. Now, in order to have air conditioning with a furnace, you have to have the coil that would typically be in the air handler. You need to have that, which will sit on top of the furnace. Okay. They can come what they call case coils or uncased coils. That is attached to the unit outside, and that's where your air conditioning comes from. So when you need air conditioning, you'll have it just like a regular air conditioning system, little coil sitting on top of the furnace. The blower from the furnace is what pushes the air across, but the heating side of the furnace does not activate. And then in the winter, the air conditioner doesn't run, the coil inside doesn't run, and the furnace is running to provide the heat for you. Now, what they call a hybrid system would be in areas that it does get super, super cold outside, low teens, negative teens, where you do need a furnace. However, a large portion of the winter time, it may stay in the high 30s, 40s, 50s, where you don't necessarily need the furnace. It's just not cold enough. So what they have is a hybrid system where you will have the condenser outside would be a heat pump. So in the mild temperature winter, the heat pump efficiently can heat the house, much more efficiently than the furnace can, and much more efficiently than the electric heat strip, the little toaster that we talked about. So it helps to save money. It does cost a little bit more for the unit outside, but it does it more efficiently. And then only when it gets super cold will the furnace kick in and supply the heat that you need. So we've talked about the straight cool. We talked about the heat pump. We talked about the furnaces. And again, you can Google these. And if you want to get a visual of what each of these look like, there's all kinds of websites. You can go to a lot of the manufacturers' websites like Trainer, Carrier, Goodman or those. And you can see the different products, what they look like. You can even go on YouTube and there's all kinds of videos. In fact, if you go to ProCalc's University YouTube page, I have a video that I created on there. And I'll see if I can put the link in the bottom of this podcast. But I have a video on there that actually kind of walks you through straight cool, furnace, coils, blowers, different things like that. And it also talks a little bit about it and how everything works. So that'd be a good link for you to go to. Now, the last item that I want to talk about is there's a air conditioning, heating air conditioning system, even a furnace part that's called a package unit. Now, what the package unit is basically, as it says, all this stuff is all together in one component. And typically these units are always outside and you'll see them there. You know, they could be 3, 4, 5 foot wide by 3, 4 feet tall. And it's all one component. It means the air handler, the coil, the blowers, the furnace, all that stuff is all in one component. And you'll see these more than not on mobile homes or manufactured homes. A lot of the down here in Florida, a lot of the old Floridian style homes had these units on the outside and they would run the ductwork up the wall into the attic. And it was kind of a little inexpensive way to create air conditioning back when there wasn't a big thing with efficiencies and whatnot. The other place that you'll see these is, believe it or not, when I go to visit my daughter in Arizona, I see they have a ton of these on top of houses. And what they do is the ductwork just comes out of the bottom or the side of these units and goes down into the house and into your grills and ducts and whatnot. But the package units all together. And so if you have a furnace, they have them with furnaces where you can actually hook up gas to them. So you have the furnace, you have the condenser. And as a package, they're usually a little less expensive than an air handler and outside condenser and all the ductwork and all that stuff. But it's really a niche market of where they can be used, and as well as the efficiencies today. I mean, you have air conditioning systems, especially with these mini splits that are in the 30s, 30 SEER. Now, that's probably going to change January 1st with all the new SEER ratings and whatnot. But the package units, because of how they are designed, they do not have the ability to be as efficient as your regular straight cool or your regular split system heat pump or your furnace, which a furnace could be a split system too, because you have the inside furnace, you're going to put the coil on top, and then you're putting the condenser outside. So technically that's a split system, because we have, and a package unit is just that. It's a package unit, one unit, everything together. You know, Carrier made some really cool looking ones where they were really, really tall, and they put the outside coil across the top because of, you know, weed whackers and all these things catching the coils and outside causing issues. So you know, Carrier came out with some really pretty cool concepts with that. But overall, the package unit industry has not come as far as the regular straight cool, the heat pumps, these high efficiency 30, 40 SEER units, and on all the different things that they've come up with. So, but it is a product that can be used. It is a specific product for like manufactured homes, mobile homes, where you have all that space underneath the mobile home, and they put the package units off to one side, and then they run all the ductwork. And there's probably a lot of you right now that have those that are listening. So, you know, keep these in mind. So straight cool heat pump, furnace, and package units, and which one's right for you. Now, with the package unit, obviously, you have to have the right house. So if you don't have the right type of environment, you can't use it. But the package units basically work identical the same way. They're just all put together. The refrigerant flows around, the compressor, the air handler, all blowing through the thing there. They don't have as much efficiency as the rest of the systems. And then you're limited to how they can be used. But they will work temperature-wise the same as their other units. So if you get a straight cool package unit, it's going to function basically almost identical. If it's a heat pump package unit, basically it'll work almost identically to the split system heat pump we talked about. If you have a furnace package unit, basically work almost identical to the regular package unit we talked about. So it's a matter of finding what is your environment that you're in. Now, something I strongly recommend, whether you're an architect or a builder, if you're an HVAC company, you probably know this. I would hope you do. Or a homeowner, is you really need to find what is the right system for your house based on the heating or cooling load. Now, what do I mean by this? Every 3-ton straight cool system, split system, is not the same. Every manufacturer 3-ton straight cool split system is not the same. And remember, we talked about a ton of air conditioning is 12,000 BTUs. So if I go to manufacturer A and I buy their 3-ton system and I install it in a house in South Florida, and I take that same manufacturer A 3-ton straight cool split system and I install it in Washington State, even though it's the same exact unit, the same exact BTU, the same exact SEER and everything, went once I install it in those different environments, it's just going to work completely different. And that's where a process in the residential market called Manual S. If you go to procalcs.net and actually it's under services, there's actually a link right there to talk about Manual S. And basically what that's doing is that's taking whichever one of these systems we feel you feel is best suited for your home and your needs and your wants. And it uses all the environment, the elevations, the temperature, the humidity, the high temps, the low temps, everything about exactly where your home is located, and tells us how that specific piece of equipment is going to function. And why this is so important is we just recently had this with a client a couple of weeks ago, where they needed a 2-ton system. Well, what's 2 tons? 12,000 BTUs times 2, right? 24,000 BTUs. When we specified this unit for their home and their location, it brought us just over 20,000. So it lost almost 4,000, almost half a ton of air conditioning just because of the location that we're installing it in, which is crazy. So if your air conditioning guy comes out and goes, yeah, it's a 3-ton, it works perfect. Well, no, it's not 3 tons, and it's not always going to work perfect, because if you have higher humidity, if you keep your thermostat set differently, if the house has better or less insulation, if you're at 10,000 feet or Florida here, I think the highest elevation is 10 foot, just teasing, but it's flat as could be, it's going to function differently. So your air conditioning guy, heating guy, can't just say 3-ton, 3-ton. Is some houses need more humidity control than others. And your standard 3-ton unit may not have the moisture removal that it needs. So I may install a 3-ton unit and you're going to have problems with that cooling. And then what's going to happen? You're going to tell your air conditioner guy when he comes out that it's not cooling properly. And well, most of the air conditioning guys are going to go, well, just make it bigger. Bigger's always better. No, that's not the case. what it is we have to have the right combination. We have to find the right one of these products, straight cool, heat pump, package unit, furnace, that is going to fit perfectly for what your needs are and the location that you are installing it in your home. And when we work with a lot of these big builders, we have to do that is we specify a general rule of thumb. But when they start doing the individual lots in the locations, we have to look at each individual location, what direction the house faces and everything, so that we can find the perfect combination for these one of these types of HVAC systems. A lot of information to go over. And, you know, throughout the podcast coming up, we're going to talk a lot more about other things. We're going to have guests on the show, some of the manufacturers, some other really cool things that we're going to be talking about. But take these items, go and do your research that when it comes time, if you need an air conditioning system before January 1st, 2023, or soon thereafter, you need to go listen to the first episode and then come back and listen to this so you can find out what the best thing for you is. Or just give our company, procalcs.net, tom@procalcs.net, give us an email, send us an email, and we'll be happy to help guide you in the right direction help take care of your needs. Well, everyone, it was an absolute pleasure having you here again today on our second episode of ProCalcs University. God bless, and everybody have a wonderful day. ProCalcs University, educating the world on all things heating, air conditioning, and indoor air quality.